Fab.
Hey, what's up, Josh?
I got something to talk about today.
Okay, let me hear it.
And I've been trying to figure out how to have this conversation, not just with you, but our audience. And I have an idea, so just follow me for a second.
Okay.
All right, you trust me, right?
Of course.
All right, so I want to play a game. I know this sounds like...
Ooh, trivia? Is it trivia?
Sounds like Saw. I want to play a game. But I want to play a game with you.
Okay.
And
I love games.
This is a bit of a guessing game, all right?
Okay.
Rules are very simple. I know you like to follow the rules. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you some, let's say, qualifications.
Okay.
All right, of jobs. And based on these qualifications and these requirements, what I want you to do is, and our audience at home could do this as well, is I want you to guess what the actual job is.
Mm, okay. All right.
So, are you up for the challenge?
Do you know me?
All right.
So I'm aiming for a perfect score here. You okay. Know I'm competitive, so let's see.
There's no prize here, Fab, but all right.
Why are you taking the fun out of it?
All right, so let's give it a shot. I'm going to give you the first one here.
Okay.
All right. And
ready.
I might give you some clues here. Okay, so the first description says you have to be able to work flexible and extended hours with short notice.
Okay.
So we're already getting a bit crazy here.
Okay.
You have to be able to speak, read, and write English fluently. All right. He says you're going to be working in a physically demanding role. Sit in and jump seat with seatbelt and harness.
Huh. Okay, that narrowed it down for me a little bit.
Is this helping? Okay.
Yeah, it's helping.
Here's another clue. Open emergency exits with a door weighing up to 60 pounds. And you have to be able to push a food and cart, a food and beverage cart.
Oh, this one's easy.
That's up to 32 pounds of force.
So I originally was thinking of a skydiving instructor.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to go with flight attendant for this one.
You would be right. It is a flight attendant.
All right.
And
is that how we call them now? Is that the politically correct term?
You know what? That's what Indeed has it.
So I'll go with Indeed.
I'm going to go with that. And the other part of this that I didn't even read is that you also would have to pass a drug test. So I don't know if you actually qualify for this job, Fab.
I am 100% clean.
Are you clean?
Okay. I would ace this job.
So that first one was a flight attendant. So ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
You got your point.
That's easy. You started kind of...
I hope you're happy.
You started kind of easy on me.
All right. So this one's going to be a little shorter. So maybe this will get a little bit more challenging here.
Okay.
Here's number two. You must be able to stand and exert fast-paced mobility for a period of up to 4 hours in length.
Huh, okay.
All right. You must also have a good sense of balance.
Okay, you don't let my brain explode with this one.
Hold on, it gets better.
Okay.
And I don't even believe I'm going to read this. You must be able to bend and kneel. Okay. I'm so serious. This is the job description.
Where do you get this job description from?
This is all from Indeed.
Okay.
And have the ability to lift pans and trays that can frequently weigh up to 25 pounds. So Fab, what is this job?
I feel like you're setting me up here. I was going with stripper or gentleman dancer.
What, like a Chippendale? Do they still have
those?
You know,
they have to bend. They have to carry things. I don't know. Maybe a server at a gentleman's club? I'm not sure.
And they do have to have mobility.
Right.
For up to 4 hours. That's a long time.
I would think that that's a shift.
And good balance.
Good balance. I don't know any other job.
You know what, Fab?
A professional adult dancer.
I like how you switched it up from stripper. You know what? As close as you were not, this is actually for a server at Applebee's.
No, it's not.
So to anyone who is a server at Applebee's, if you're listening to this, we apologize.
Why do they have to bend?
I don't know. I didn't write this.
Okay, you got me with that.
All right, so one right and one wrong so far.
Okay.
So you're
one
you're
for bad. Two. All right.
Batting 500.
Coming back with a third one.
You're batting 500 here. All right. This one says, so there's an educational requirement for this one. All right. So you have to have a bachelor's degree.
All right.
All right. The other two didn't. That wasn't a mandatory requirement. You had to have around 2 years experience.
Okay.
All right. You had to have an outstanding record of academic achievement and leadership. It's getting serious here.
Okay. I like what this is on.
Even more intensely, it says you have to exude integrity. I don't even know what the heck that means, but you've got to.
So I know it's not for the president of the United States.
So you've got to exude integrity.
That eliminates all politicians. Go ahead.
Self-awareness.
Okay.
Grit and perseverance.
Hmm.
This is intense. It says you take and implement feedback quickly while possessing a sense of humor. So when people tell you horrible things about yourself, you got to have a sense of humor about it.
Okay.
A few more things. It says you have to be hardworking, a fast learner, and exceptional. It doesn't say in what, but you got to be exceptional.
Okay.
And you have to welcome the disruption of the status quo.
Oh, that threw me off. So I thought I had it.
Okay.
I don't know about the last description.
So what was your initial
thought? Going with like an executive administrative assistant.
Okay.
Administrative assistant to a CEO.
I can see that.
But disruption, I don't think that's a good qualification an administrative assistant.
Probably not.
The status quo. So that's a tough one.
Take a guess.
I don't know. A school principal.
Very close.
Okay.
It did involve a position at a school,
okay. But
not the principal. And not just any school, by the way. This is specifically a position for a charter school teacher.
A teacher.
Yes, for a teacher. So you had to be all those things.
Okay.
Just to qualify.
What grade level are we talking about here?
I think this was like a K through 12. So.
Okay. Disrupting the status quo. Is this the new wave of teachers now?
Well, I think of the charter school. I think that's what the whole point is, right? They're disrupting.
Gotcha. All right. That was a good one.
So I'm not going to say which charter school, but it's up there. These are actual descriptions.
Have credit for being in the vicinity.
I don't know yet. We haven't had this podcast that long, so we don't want to upset people too soon.
All right.
Maybe by episode 3. All right. So here's the next one, and this will be one of our last ones. So,
okay.
You know what? I'll give you that one, Fab. So, I'll give you 2 out of 3 because you got the school part right.
Okay.
All right. All right. So,
thank you.
That was pretty good.
That.
No, you know, you've earned it. Mm-hmm. All right. So, this one is another degree that's required, but I'm not going to say in what field because it would give it away because it has to be a specific degree, but a degree is required. This one requires, the last one was 2 years. This one is a 7 to 10 years worth of experience in a medium to large market. So you have to have been in a sizable market within this industry to qualify.
Okay.
All right. It says that you need to have exceptional judgment and ability to handle sensitive topics.
Okay.
All right. Excellent writing, communication, and organizational skills. Experience working on digital platforms. So hint. Strong and proven ability to multitask and work under deadlines. This one requires, and I think this is maybe specific to maybe the region, but it says that you have to be bilingual, or at least bilingual is a plus. And then here's the kicker. You have to have strong working knowledge of the Catholic Church.
So as a Catholic girl, I have no idea what this job is. I have no, working for the Vatican? What is this?
You know what? You would think, right? 7 to 10 years experience. But there's a lot of other things in there, though, right? There's written communication, organizational skills, digital platform. So while it may seem like it's something specific to the church, it actually isn't. But I don't know why that's in here.
Is it like a social marketing person for the church?
You know what? That's what it probably should be. But it's not.
Okay.
This is actually a position for a news anchor of all people.
No way.
I'm like maybe thinking.
Are they reporting on church matters?
You know what? I don't know. But this was specific to a news anchor at a particular agency. And the agency wasn't even promoting itself as like a religious institution. So I don't know where this came from. Well, maybe.
That really threw me off. I would have never guessed that.
You know what? Maybe this employer values Catholic Church. The things that the Catholic Church teaches. So I don't know. Maybe having that knowledge means something to the CEO.
Okay.
You know, who knows?
All right.
But
that was a curveball. All right.
That was for the news anchor. So Fab, two out of four isn't bad. This is your first time doing this. I'm going to let you redeem yourself.
Okay.
Because right now you're even. I'm going to give you one more.
All right.
All right.
Give it to me.
And let's see if you can get this. This is actually, in comparison to other job descriptions that I read, this one's pretty short.
Okay.
Only requires three things. One is that you have to be a natural born citizen.
Okay.
Two, you have to be a permanent resident in this country for at least 14 years.
All right.
And the third is that you have to be at least 35 years of age.
Oh, this is easy. I know this one.
What is it?
U.S. president, baby.
Ding, 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 ding. It is the job description for our very own U.S. president. And today, we're going to talk about this because I'm a bit bothered by that, right? I mean, the fact that this position only has a few qualifications. So today, we ask you guys to join us, take this journey with us as we explore the qualifications of the U.S. president.
This is, in my opinion, a course-eyed seat into the sometimes quirky and lively conversations between two friends from grad school. We talk about everything and nothing, blending social commentary with strong opinions, often entertaining, sometimes serious, and all the way civil. You know, the way you wish the world would be.
All right, so Fab, thanks again for participating in our little game today.
Yeah, that was interesting.
What'd you think about it?
I kind of like the disrupt the status quo. That's that. I might add that.
Yeah, and the one about the bending and the kneeling.
Could also, I don't know about that one. Could I think I'll get a little in trouble for that.
could be. But I thought this was pretty interesting. And when I was doing my own research about this and just looking at different jobs, I mean, you know, you're in this country long enough, you kind of know what the qualifications are to be president, but you don't really realize in comparison to other positions that we could argue aren't as important or as impactful as that, right? I mean, can we agree that the U.S. president is arguably the most impactful position in the world, maybe?
In the world, right? Not even in the country.
Not even in the country,
I mean,
right?
In the whole world.
That it only takes three things to get you to qualify, right? So that's pretty interesting. And, you know, I want to really be able to explore this today and kind of understand, you know, why that is. And I want to even push back a bit and ask the question, should that description be a little more challenging to be able to qualify for?
So, you know what I'm going to say, right?
I know what you're going to say, but...
Absolutely, yes. The most important position in the world.
Okay.
We have to be a little bit more rigorous in who can apply for that position.
Now, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I want to push back a bit here and put things in context, right? So it's going to be a bit of a history lesson here. So for our listeners.
Fine.
You know, but when the United States, right, when this country was really formed, right, it was formed out of the oppression of the British monarchy, right? And, you know, at that time, the next ruler was just simply the birthright of the guy in line, right? So there's technically, that was the only qualification, really, if you want to really get technical here.
You had to be born into the right family.
You had to be born, right? So, I mean, technically, our U.S. president is an upgrade, if you really, if you think about it in the context here.
Okay.
But, you know, the founding fathers were really just trying to figure out a way to get out of that system, right? So that it wasn't just this birthright, but that anyone could have an opportunity, right? These are the United States, right? Anyone could have this dream, could have the hope, right, of being the ruler or the CEO, so to speak, of the country, right? Like this was the foundation of democracy.
So you're saying that was the spirit of how things were designed, right?
Yeah.
But I'm even thinking of back then, you know, who ended up actually being able to run for president. They weren't necessarily the common Joe or like the regular guy. It was people that were formally educated, can read and write, and had connections, came from privileged, were well known. So I know that it's brought intentionally, but in the history of the country, and I think that's something I have to kind of look into, who has become president that represents the regular guy? Was it really meant for them?
I think it was, right? But I don't think, to be fair, that everything could have been predicted or accounted for, right? But I think, like you said, at the spirit of it, the idea was that anyone who was born in this country, right, I think that is a pretty key qualification, mm-hmm. right? That you kind of keep the purity of that. I like how they at least tried to think about age. I'm not sure exactly what the where the 35
right?
came because from. That was a while ago, because 35 back then is like, what, maybe 50 today?
People didn't used to live that long back yeah. then. So like 35 minimum.
That was a senior
it
citizen.
It really narrowed down a lot of people. I mean, yeah. like if you lived in poverty and mm-hmm. your life expectancy wasn't
very
that
true.
Long. If you made it to 35.
that alone was like an achievement.
Exactly.
You should be president. Yeah, you
made right, it. Right, yeah. But you're 35 and you're still alive. You didn't
you're
get
doing,
weirded
you're doing
out
something
by
right. yeah.
natural selection. Okay,
yeah.
let's go.
Fair enough. but yeah, right. So there's something interesting about that. So I think there's some thought around, you know, maybe by that age, someone's acquired a certain level of wisdom and experience, right? I think there's some kind of unwritten and unspoken undertones here, you know, around these what are kind of seemingly basic qualifications.
I don't know. I feel a little bit conflicted about the age thing. I think that having experience in your line of work, though, is a lot more important than how old you are.
Yeah. I can totally agree with that. And, you know, I think we're in agreement with this kind of very, you know, basic and rudimentary outline that the founding fathers put together. But times have changed, right? I mean, this
yes,
is...
they have.
and this job description has it, right? Like, I don't know about you, but my job description changes probably like every year or two.
Yes.
Right?
It changes all the time.
Changes all the time. Why? Because our experience changes, the company changes, right?
The clients change,
right?
Yeah.
So there are all these considerations. Why doesn't this job description change, right?
That's a great question.
You know, and especially now with digital media, right? And just the age of technology. Our founding fathers didn't foresee that. So...
Our president tweets now. That was not something
that was not something that they thought about.
I think people thought about in terms of access.
That's true.
The game has completely changed.
It totally has. And I think this is the right time to maybe consider a bit of, what should we call this? An amendment to the job description, if we could be so bold. Now, here's the thing, right? So as much as this perspective allows you to open the doors to the quote-unquote common man, you also risk letting in a few...
Unqualified?
sure, let's go with that word. And in America's history, we've had arguably a few unqualified...
Yes, we have.
...presidents in our time, right? And we're not going to sit here, we're not going to name them, right? We're not playing the blame game here. But this is just to acknowledge that when you open the door that wide, you're going to let in, right, kind of...
The best man doesn't always get the job.
That is true. Yeah. Or a woman at this point.
Well, the best man doesn't always get the job.
Because as wide as that description is, we still haven't had a woman.
Yes, correct.
Which says a lot, but maybe that's a topic for another day.
Yes.
So we'll put a pin in that one. But... What we want to do right now, and again to our audience listening, we want to begin to kind of think about what would we adjust or change in this new amendment for this job description. So we did our homework and we came up with a few categories. And I'm going to read these categories, and Fab, I'm going to need your help to kind of figure out what we're going to stay with and what's going to go. So I think this is pretty extensive. But I want us to maybe just kind of first figure out what becomes the essentials, because at some point you can't have everything, right? And this person's not going to be perfect. We can admit that.
Of course.
Right? So our goal is just to at least have something as comprehensive as possible that we think is fitting for this very powerful position.
Yeah. Right now, my job description...
It's more intense
than the president's job description.
Yes. And so let's take a look at this. Okay, so our first potential category, and so Fab, I just want you to help me to just say yay or nay. Is this an essential component, do you think, that should be in this amended job description? Okay.
All right.
So the first one is physical health and fitness. So just from
yay.
A purely physical standpoint, I didn't finish that.
Oh, sorry. Was there more?
So you think that the president has to be physically healthy and fit?
Yeah, so I think when we hear the word fit, we naturally think of like someone with a six pack or like in really great shape. But I think it, like, they should be able to withstand the rigorous schedule of the job. I mean, you're working ridiculous hours. Yeah. You're flying all over the world.
Yeah.
You're
kneeling and bending. Yeah.
Demanding job. Yeah. And you have to be healthy and ready for it. It's like someone doesn't enroll as a Navy SEAL, like weighing 200 pounds, right? You have to be fit for what is expected of you. So I think that should definitely be a part of the job description. Mm.
Okay. All right. So we'll put a yes on that one. What about mentally?
I'm sorry. I gotta let you finish.
Yeah, please. Can I just get through the description, the category? Okay. Mentally, and I'm also unfairly lumping in emotional health.
Okay.
Those are obviously two separate things, but just for the sake of argument here, mental and emotional health, is it essential?
Let me think.
Can I just put the yes now?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, yes. You have access to
you get the launch codes. Yeah.
And launch codes and all of that. Someone should be mentally well. I think like in different jobs, we assess for that, right?
Yeah.
We do psychological exams.
True.
We do, to make sure somebody well, we do background checks. Hmm. I think that someone that has a history of severe mental illness or just unexplainable behavior should be questioned.
Okay. All right. Here's another one.
Okay.
This is right up your alley. Gender.
Ha. So you're asking me is gender should be a criteria?
Does it matter?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, historically it seems to because we haven't had a woman president, but it really shouldn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. If you're qualified, I think both genders can do the job.
Okay.
So that's a no-brainer for me.
You don't buy the argument that at that level of intensity and of toughness that a woman would not be able to...
There's women in the military. There's women in online work. There's women surgeons. I don't see... There's nothing that's gender-specific about that role that a woman wouldn't be able to do.
Okay. There are a lot of other people out there that argue that, but I'm on your side, and maybe one day we'll see that in our lifetime, but...
I'm hoping we see it in 2020.
All right, moving on. So we kind of covered this actually in the current description, age. So I'll just kind of pose it this way. Is 35 appropriate still, right? Like we were talking about how what 35 probably meant back then. Should that be now adjusted and lifted a bit, or you think that's fine where it is?
See, I don't even think age should be a requirement. I think there should be other requirements.
You could be 18, 21.
When are you able to vote?
18, no?
Right. So if you can vote for a president, why can't you be president?
You'd want an 18-year-old with the launch codes?
He would have to prove that he is able
to... Oh, yes. Okay, fair enough.
He doesn't get the job.
Doesn't get the job.
Right?
Okay, but like to be able to get
to
in.
He has to run for presidency. I'm saying that if you're old enough to be able to select
that's
who
fair enough.
Can
yeah.
apply for the job,
yeah.
then you should be old enough to run. Listen, you don't get it automatically, but why 35? I'm not sure why that was selected.
You know what? That's a very good point. If you can make a decision about who should be president, then okay.
Why can't you be president?
Yeah, wow. We are.
Please don't hate me for this guy.
We are going against the status quo. I think Fab would be a great candidate for that charter school position. All right, so we got a few more here, so I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as we can.
Okay.
So the other one is, let's look at intellect and IQ. how essential is that one?
That's tricky. And here's why. I think it's tricky because there's different types of intelligence that we don't necessarily have ways to measure them structurally.
Like should you know basic math, basic like comprehensive skills? Writing, communication, you know, just...
Yeah, I think there should definitely be a basic... This worries me, though, a little bit, because there's something to be said about people that have other kinds of smarts, right? That are able to think critically and logically and may not be necessarily traditionally educated. So I don't know. I don't know about this one. This is tough for me to
decide.
So
maybe instead of intellect, right, we can simply kind of put in a much broader frame, but I think I get where you're going, right? It's not just simply being book smart, but right. as long as we're considering these other aspects of intelligence. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But then that brings me to my point of experience. And I don't know if that's in your category, but I think that that's what's most important.
Yeah, so we do have some experience, and we kind of separated it. So, all right, so the next one, before we get to that, marital status.
I don't think that should matter.
Why?
How does being married either help or hinder you from doing the job?
So here is what I think the perception is of it.
Okay.
Okay. And I think like a lot of what our country does, it's based on religious and particularly kind of biblical context. And oftentimes marriage is seen as kind of an example of your leadership, right? So if you can lead your family, if you can be the head of your household, then this is a representation of how you can lead others or a larger entity. So I think if I had to put it in that type of, okay. right, I think that's where the thought of it comes from. So if someone who is not married could maybe raise questions about, is this person have a fear of commitment? Is this person, you know...
Are they able to be successful in a relationship?
In a relationship, right? Right. And if they can't prove to do that, then can we trust them with something bigger?
There's lots of people in terrible marriages, right? How do we judge that? Personal and professional personalities are two different things. And I think that someone can be a great leader and as a romantic partner not have had success there. So I don't think that should be a qualification at all.
Okay. All right. We're doing good so far. We got a few more here to kind of kick through. What about your financial status?
Tell me more.
So, right, kind of keeping in vein of maybe thinking about experience, right? Like, I guess for me, I would think about experience in regards to your ability to manage money because that's going to be a very huge part of your role and responsibility.
You have to create a budget.
Right. And of course, you're going to have people under you who are really going to be the experts in this. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
You know, you're going to have economists, right? But you need to at least have some knowledge, one. And two, I think some history of if you're bankrupt or you've been in bankruptcy, I would see that as a potential red flag. What about you?
That would eliminate a few precedents.
If they disclose that information, but yeah.
I don't know. I think financial status is getting a little bit tricky, right? Because context matters. Like, there's a lot of things that can explain it. Like, do we go through a recession? Does something like significant happen?
That's
people
fair.
Fall into hard times.
That's fair.
Right? So I think that that shouldn't necessarily be a qualification. But I think that, again, that becomes fair game when somebody's running for president. Is that informed voters should have those kind of questions. If you can't manage your own business or your own finances, how can you manage the countries, right? But it shouldn't prevent you from applying.
Okay. I like that. Having the context behind that, I think that's a really great way to think about it. All right. What about actual political experience?
Yes.
Because, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
That was a bit of the knock on President Obama at the time that he was not coming in, you know, with all of this, you know, storied history in the political realm. I mean, he had some work, you know,
in
Chicago.
But he was a senator, right?
He was a senator, but at the time, that was a, I mean, he was really kind of going against the grain where a lot of other candidates prior to him had some more storied history.
Well, right now, our president had no experience in the political realm at all. So I think that some political experience should be required. I don't think that it should be like, oh, you need to be this first and that, and like kind of work your way up that ladder. I don't think it should be that prescriptive. But I do think it's important to understand how the government works, to come in completely, be able to be a part of the government before you can apply to be president.
Okay. What about military experience?
It used to just happen that most of the presidents who just ran had military experience, because that's just the way kind of things ended up working out.
It's also and lately, very patriotic.
Right, and lately, I don't think that has been the case. I do feel like that it's important for a president that decisions on going to war and sending soldiers to war to understand what's at stake here and to know what that's like. But the question is it essential?
Okay.
I'm leaning towards yes, to have some military experience, but I think nowadays with the way that information and knowledge happens, it may not be as necessary as it once was, but you know, I'm a little split, but I'm leaning more towards yes.
You know what, and I totally agree with all those points. I would say yes, just simply from, and I think you mentioned this, war is such an ugly and destructive thing, mm-hmm. that oftentimes when presidents are making decisions around going to war, it's not from, like I said, as of late, it's not from a space of having been in that position.
And know what's at stake.
And,
right?
and really understand what it means to be on the battlefield, to have to deal with quote unquote the enemy, right? Like to really have to be in the trenches, and what that not only puts the country through, but what it puts the individual soldiers through. And I think for a decision as great as to decide whether or not the country is going to go to war, should be put in the hands of someone who at least has some context to what that really means, to really understand the cost of that. So
that's a very fair point.
All right, I think I'll do one more.
Okay.
And thinking about this in the context of our current environment, right? Again, the founding fathers did their best when they were thinking about this position and wanted to keep it as open and flexible as possible, but they couldn't foresee how our country has become so dependent on technology.
Okay.
And so technology really has become the epicenter of everything we do. So the question becomes, should the president be someone who is technologically savvy? Or at the very least, have some sense of understanding of how technology works, particularly social media, I think would probably be a good start.
I want to say no on this one.
Hmm.
And hear me out, because I think that the president will have staff and people that would support with that end of things. I don't think that that should be a qualifier. Like, you know, when you were talking about that, you know what I thought of? I thought about, you know, Facebook, when your grandma joins Facebook and you don't really know how to use it. And they, you know, post pictures that are like, what are you doing, grandma? The president will have enough staffing to support with the technology pieces. I don't know if that should be a qualifier.
So you don't think in this current climate that being cognizant of the impact of technology would be important?
I think being cognizant of it is different than
being
savvy with technology, right? Like, I can understand that technology is important and not know necessarily how to post a picture to Facebook. I don't know. to be honest, I think this day and age, like, it would naturally self-select. I think, like, candidates who are running for president need to have a social media presence.
True.
And if they don't, I don't think that they would successfully get elected. So I think in some ways it would naturally work itself. I don't know, putting that as a requirement though, I don't know, feels a little bit like trying to eliminate the old folks from the time.
That, you know what, and that is a fair point. Yeah, and we certainly don't want to have that age discrimination,
right?
So I think that's a really fair point, that would probably set it apart.
I'd rather have somebody that has a sound mind, that can come up with really common sense policies, that
versus
can
someone
help
who
our
knows
country,
how to use Instagram filters.
I really don't care about that.
All right, so I think we have a pretty good list together, and I really enjoyed this conversation because I was really coming in here worried, and I think that we're really leaving and making some headway here. And we'd love to know what you guys think. So what we're going to do is we're going to post these categories from what Fab selected from the original ones that we had. Again, these are the essential ones that we think should now become requirements for the adjusted job description. And we'd love to see what you guys think. So you'd have an opportunity to see our list and even post your own comments about what you think should stay, what do you think should go, do you agree with our list? Do you think it should look different? We'd love to hear from you. In the coming episodes, we're going to read back this list after we kind of get an opportunity to see what the feedback looks like so we can really narrow down. And maybe one day, who knows, we could be a part of revamping the job description for the president. So wouldn't that be exciting? I had a lot of fun putting this list together.
This was fun.
And I'm really excited because I think we have something here. And
you should get hired to, like, rewrite the president's job description.
You know what? I think we're going to look back on this moment in history, and this is where it would have all started. So thank you guys for being a part of this, and we'd love to hear more about how you feel about this list. Do you agree with the list we put together? Do you agree with our opinions about this list? You can go to our webpage, at imopodcast.com, and we'll actually have this list posted, and you can be able to give us that feedback directly, or you can visit us on our Instagram, inmyopinion_podcast.
Remember, guys, this was just our opinion. We would love to hear yours.